Introduction. Artifact recognition, classification, and removal are foundational competencies for any clinician or researcher utilizing electroencephalography, EEG. The EEG records scalp electrical potentials reflecting neural activity, but it is highly susceptible to contamination by non-cerebral electrical sources known as artifacts. These unwanted signals can obscure or distort the underlying brain rhythms, leading to invalid interpretations and compromised decisions in clinical diagnostics, neurofeedback interventions, and cognitive neuroscience research. Artifacts are broadly classified as physiological or exogenous. Physiological artifacts originate from biological activity, such as eye movements, electroocular, muscle contractions, electromyographic, heartbeat, cardiac, and autonomic responses like sweating or sleep onset. Exogenous artifacts stem from external sources like electromagnetic interference, poor electrode contact, or mechanical instability. All artifact sources must be systematically controlled, identified, and removed. A high-quality EEG session requires both technical rigor and procedural consistency. Clinicians must calibrate equipment, apply electrodes correctly, maintain acceptable impedance levels, and monitor for environmental disruptions. Simultaneously, client education and behavioral regulation during the session are critical. A relaxed, motionless, and alert client reduces the incidence of movement and muscle artifacts. Environmental controls, quiet rooms, non-fluorescent lighting, temperature regulation further support artifact minimization. Clinicians must master the art of real-time EEG monitoring, distinguishing legitimate cortical activity from noise. This includes interpreting waveform morphology, inspecting channel distributions, and correlating signal anomalies with client behavior or equipment states. Moreover, practitioners must document artifact sources and correction strategies meticulously to ensure transparency and reproducibility. This lecture will systematically guide you through best practices for artifact handling, including both general and artifact-specific techniques. We will cover strategies for identifying and removing the major categories of EEG artifacts: electromyographic, electroocular, cardiac and pulse, sweat, impedance, bridging, drowsiness, evoked potential, movement, 50-60, Hertz interference, radio frequency, electrode-related, impedance irregularities, and electrode pop discharges. For each category, we will integrate technical standards, client instructions, real-time detection cues, and post-recording correction procedures. These practical insights will enhance your capacity to generate reliable EEG datasets that support valid clinical conclusions and research inferences. B. Editing and identifying artifacts. Editing EEG data involves the removal of segments contaminated by artifacts to ensure accurate interpretation of neural signals. This process begins with stringent setup protocols. All electrodes must be properly affixed, impedances confirmed to be below 5,000 ohms for research or 20,000 ohms for training, and environmental noise sources minimized. Clinicians must review raw waveforms without filters activated, especially low and high pass filters, as these can obscure key artifact features, such as muscle bursts or slow eye movements. Segment-by-segment visual inspection remains the gold standard. Artifacts may be identified through sudden amplitude deflections, non-physiological wave shapes, phase-inconsistent channel activity, or synchronous anomalies that do not follow neuroanatomical patterns. These markers often indicate non-cerebral signal sources that require exclusion. The artifact rejection process is more than technical. It involves real-time behavioral observation. Clinicians should match waveform changes to client behaviors, such as blinking, jaw movement, or changes in posture. Clients should be engaged continuously throughout the session to maintain arousal and cooperation. A simple technique, such as stating time intervals aloud, can help sustain client alertness and prevent drowsiness artifacts, which often begin subtly with alpha dropout and theta increase. Moreover, longer EEG recordings may increase artifact incidence due to fatigue, so balancing data quantity and quality is critical. Clean segments must be at least 45 seconds for minimal analysis, and ideally 2 full minutes for database comparisons or normative metrics. In some cases, particularly with pediatric or hyperactive clients, entire sessions may be rendered unusable, necessitating re-recording under more controlled conditions. Clinicians must also be prepared to evaluate artifact severity and distribution across channels. If only a subset of electrodes is affected and others remain artifact-free, analysis may proceed using the clean subset. For example, localized SEMG artifacts affecting temporal sites, T3, T4, may still allow frontal and parietal analysis. However, if contamination is widespread or crosses hemispheric boundaries, full rejection is advised. Furthermore, EEG professionals must recognize complex cases where multiple artifact types overlap. For instance, drowsiness accompanied by eye flutter or postural EMG, and apply composite filtering and editing techniques. Ultimately, the integrity of EEG interpretation hinges on the rigor with which artifact editing is conducted. Strategies to reduce artifacts. Effective artifact reduction begins before EEG acquisition through both equipment preparation and client training. Demonstrating how artifacts are generated gives clients a concrete understanding of their role in producing clean data. During the setup phase, clinicians should ask clients to deliberately blink, clench their jaw, or fidget while observing corresponding distortions in the EEG. These exercises visually reinforce the impact of physiological movement on signal quality and support behavior modification during the recording. In addition, practitioners should prepare the client environment to minimize discomfort or distractions. This includes using adjustable reclining chairs that support the back without compressing the neck, as neck tension often contributes to scalp EMG contamination. One of the most effective mechanical strategies is the careful fitting of the EEG cap, or electrode system. Caps should be sized appropriately to avoid shifting during recording, and individual electrodes must be secured with conductive paste or gel. Loose electrodes not only introduce movement artifacts, but can also lead to impedance drift over time. Clients should be positioned comfortably with arms and legs supported to avoid subtle muscular contractions that might otherwise go unnoticed. In eyes-closed protocols, minimizing ocular activity is critical. A non-invasive method involves placing soft cotton pads gently over the eyelids, secured with a light mask or elastic band. This reduces blinking and flutter, which can cause large frontal artifacts. Impedance management is foundational. For general clinical purposes, skin electrode impedance under 20,000 ohms is acceptable. But for publishable research or quantitative EEG, QEEG comparisons, values should fall below 5,000 ohms. Impedances should also be balanced across all channels within 1/3,000 ohms to prevent amplifier bias and common mode rejection failure. Excessive impedance can amplify even minor artifacts, including 50-60 Hz interference or skin potentials. Clinicians must routinely measure and adjust impedance during setup, using gentle skin abrasion and fresh gel application when necessary. Only when raw waveforms appear clean and stable should recording begin. A preliminary 1-2-minute observation segment can be used to verify data quality before formal data capture. These preparatory steps significantly reduce the need for post-hoc editing and improve the reliability of derived metrics such as coherence, power spectra, and source localization. Electromyographic, EMG, artifacts. EMG artifacts generated by skeletal muscle activity represent one of the most common and problematic forms of physiological contamination in EEG recordings. These artifacts are especially prevalent during eyes-open sessions and are typically introduced by subtle frontalis, temporalis, and trapezius muscle contractions. They are identified by their high-frequency content, ranging from 20 hertz to over 1,000 hertz, but are most disruptive in the beta and gamma frequency bands. In QEEG, EMG artifacts can falsely inflate beta power and coherence, leading to cortical arousal or hypervigilance misinterpretation. These artifacts often appear as diffuse high-amplitude bursts, sometimes localized to peripheral channels such as T3 and T4, but they can also propagate centrally due to volume conduction. To mitigate EMG contamination, clinicians can employ a combination of biofeedback, hardware configuration, and real-time monitoring techniques. One effective method involves using coincidence detection. EE data at 14 Hz or 40 Hz is recorded only when EMG signals at 70 Hz or an identical frequency are absent in muscle-specific leads, such as over the temporalis or trapezius. This ensures that the data captured reflects cerebral rather than muscular activity. During the setup phase, clients should be asked to intentionally tense and relax muscle groups while viewing their EEG trace, observing how EMG activity creates excessive high-frequency buzz in the signal. This direct feedback fosters body awareness and supports voluntary suppression of muscle tension. Clinicians must also modify their language to elicit compliance without increasing client stress. Commands such as "relax your jaw" may prompt tension due to their imperative tone. In contrast, suggestions like "allow your jaw to soften" promote a more passive release. Throughout recording, the technician should monitor muscle-dense sites, especially temporal and occipital channels, and pause recording when burst activity appears. Post-processing review should include spectral inspection for elevated beta or gamma power at peripheral electrodes. If identified, these epochs must be removed or flagged for artifact correction. EMG noise can be reduced with a low-pass filter, 15 Hz, but this should be applied cautiously as it attenuates high-frequency cerebral rhythms. Continuous refinement of client posture, electrode placement, and environmental comfort is critical in managing this artifact class. In high-density EEG systems, frontal EMG contamination is particularly detrimental, as it compromises frontal midline theta and anterior cingulate analyses. Therefore, reducing EMG through preemptive and reactive strategies is essential for maintaining data fidelity and analytic validity. Electro-ocular artifacts. Electro-ocular artifacts originate from the electrical dipole of the eyeball, with the cornea being positively charged relative to the retina. When the eyes move, this dipole rotates and produces voltage changes detected by frontal EEG electrodes. Common ocular artifacts include eye blinks, saccadic movements, vertical and horizontal gaze shifts, and eye flutter. These events produce large amplitude deflections, especially at electrodes FP1, FP2, F7, F8, and the nosion. Their frequency content is typically in the delta and theta range, but they can also influence alpha during extended eye closure. Ocular artifacts are particularly problematic during eyes-closed protocols, drowsiness, and cognitive tasks requiring visual tracking. In some cases, rapid eye movements can even mimic epileptiform activity, complicating differential diagnosis. Prevention begins with careful preparation. Skin around the eyes must be clean and oil-free to ensure stable electrode contact, and impedances must be low and balanced. When available, vertical and horizontal electro-oculogram, EOG channels, should be used to isolate and subtract eye movement components from the EEG. If EOG leads are not used, frontal channels like FP1, FP2, F7, and F8 can serve as indirect indicators. During setup, clinicians should instruct clients to blink, look left, right, up, and down, while the EEG trace is monitored in real time. Clients are then taught to reduce these movements during the session by focusing their gaze on a fixed, downward-pointing target. This positioning reduces visual distraction and helps maintain a neutral ocular state. Artifact rejection can also be supported by pacing blinks. Clients may be asked to blink periodically, once every 15-20 seconds, to cluster eye movement events and provide longer artifact-free intervals. Furthermore, blinking during intertrial intervals or feedback pauses can minimize signal loss during cognitive or neurofeedback tasks. Epochs contaminated with ocular artifacts must be manually excluded, especially if the amplitude exceeds the baseline by 50% or more. Automated ICA, independent component analysis, and regression-based artifact removal methods may assist in decomposing and attenuating eye movement components, although manual review remains essential for accuracy. Electroocular artifacts should always be considered when interpreting frontal theta increases or apparent slow wave bursts, particularly in anxiety-prone individuals or pediatric clients. By integrating behavioral training, sensor configuration, and vigilant monitoring, clinicians can substantially reduce the incidence and impact of ocular artifacts in EEG recordings. Cardiac and pulse artifacts. Cardiac and pulse artifacts are introduced into EEG recordings when the heart's electrical activity or mechanical pulse is volume conducted to nearby electrodes. The ECG waveform can appear in the EEG trace when electrode impedance is high or unbalanced, or when earlobe electrodes touch the neck. These artifacts typically manifest as rhythmic repeating deflections at a frequency of about 1 Hz and can be misinterpreted as cortical oscillations, particularly in delta and theta bands. Their periodic nature means they often affect multiple channels simultaneously, creating the false impression of synchronous neural activity. Additionally, they can skew coherence and phase analyses, especially when coherence is evaluated in low-frequency bands. Pulse artifacts, sometimes called cardioballistic artifacts, are caused by mechanical electrode displacement as a nearby blood vessel expands and contracts. This physical movement introduces low-frequency waveforms that may mimic delta activity. These are particularly common when electrodes are placed near the temporal artery or the carotid pulse. While not electrically derived like ECG artifacts, pulse artifacts can be equally disruptive, particularly in quantitative analyses or when using topographic mapping systems that interpret all low-frequency energy as cortical in origin. Prevention and mitigation begin with ensuring electrode impedances are low, under 5,000 ohms for research and under 20,000 ohms for clinical use, and balanced within 1/3,000 ohms between electrodes. Skin preparation should be meticulous. Ear electrodes must never contact the neck. The clinician should include a dedicated ECG channel for comparison if cardiac artifacts are suspected. This allows synchronous deflections in the EEG to be matched with the ECG trace and confidently identified. Placement of a reference electrode away from pulsatile regions can also reduce artifact incidence. Furthermore, instructing clients to remain still and avoid neck tension can help prevent pulse-related mechanical transmission. In cases where cardiac contamination is detected post hoc, Epochs with regular about 1 Hz activity that mirrors the ECG signal should be rejected. Signal processing techniques like template subtraction or regression-based correction may assist, but require careful calibration. Visual inspection of time series plots and spectral displays remains the most reliable detection method. Finally, clinicians should be aware of differential susceptibility across montages. Referential recordings using earlobe or mastoid references are particularly vulnerable. By proactively addressing both electrical and mechanical pathways of artifact generation, clinicians can effectively safeguard EEG data against cardiac and pulse interference. Sweat, impedance, artifacts. Sweat artifacts are among the most disruptive physiological contaminants in EEG recordings, especially in sessions that extend beyond 20 minutes or are conducted in warm, humid environments. These artifacts result from the accumulation of perspiration at or near the electrode site, which alters the electrical properties of the skin-electrode interface. As sweat increases skin conductance unevenly, it can generate slow drifts and large up and down waveform deflections, often in the delta frequency range, 1-2 Hz. These slow waves are typically irregular, asymmetric, and predominantly observed in frontal and temporal channels. They can resemble pathological slow wave activity or stage 1 sleep, leading to potential diagnostic confusion. To detect sweat artifacts, clinicians should monitor for abrupt low-frequency shifts, particularly in long-duration eyes-closed protocols. The presence of slow, high-amplitude drifts that appear to wander from baseline, especially when the client is visibly alert, suggests the sweat interference. It is also important to consider contextual factors. Sweat artifacts often follow periods of increased stress, exertion, or thermal discomfort. Clients under stress may exhibit sympathetic nervous system arousal that leads to localized sweating on the scalp and forehead. In many cases, sweat artifacts present concurrently with other physiological changes, such as heart rate acceleration or facial muscle tension. Preventive strategies start with client preparation. Before recording, individuals should be instructed to avoid caffeine, strenuous activity, or hot environments. Hair should be dry, and the scalp should be cleaned with alcohol or abrasive gel to reduce oil and moisture. A temperature-controlled room with gentle airflow is ideal for maintaining scalp dryness. During recording, clinicians should periodically inspect raw traces for the emergence of slow-frequency irregularities. When detected, contaminated epics must be excluded, and electrode sites may require cleaning and reapplication. Continuous impedance monitoring is also helpful. Rising impedance values during a session may signal accumulating sweat under the electrodes. For sessions that cannot be halted, localized cooling with fans or application of absorbent material, gauze around the forehead, can slow perspiration. Some EEG systems offer real-time signal quality metrics that flag impedance instability, alerting the clinician to potential sweat contamination. Post-processing artifact rejection must be carefully applied to preserve non-contaminated data. Automated artifact detection algorithms, while helpful, often misclassify slow, sweat-induced drifts as cortical delta waves. Therefore, expert human judgment remains essential. Ultimately, managing sweat artifacts requires environmental control, client education, and continuous vigilance throughout the EEG recording session. Bridging artifacts. Bridging artifacts occur when two or more adjacent electrodes are electrically connected by an unintended conductive pathway, typically formed by excessive application of gel or paste, perspiration, or inadequate electrode separation. This short-circuiting results in identical voltage recordings between bridged electrodes in referential montages or a flat line in bipolar montages. Such artifacts artificially increase signal correlation and may create the illusion of perfect coherence or complete synchrony between regions. These distortions undermine functional connectivity analysis and invalidate spatial interpretation, particularly in QEEG and brain mapping procedures. The primary cause of bridging is the overapplication of conductive material during cap preparation. An electrical bridge forms if paste or gel spreads beyond the electrode boundaries and touches adjacent sensors. Bridging is especially likely in high-density cap systems or with clients who perspire heavily during recording. Wet hair or scalp oil can exacerbate gel migration, increasing the likelihood of bridging. Artifacts may also arise later in the session due to sweating, which turns dry gel into a semi-liquid conductive path. Preventing bridging artifacts begins with disciplined electrode application techniques. Clinicians must apply just enough paste to ensure scalp contact and avoid gel overflow. The area around each electrode should be inspected visually before and after cap placement. If an electrode appears flooded, it should be cleaned and reapplied. Clients should be asked to arrive with clean, dry hair and to avoid using hair products before their appointment. During setup, cotton or non-conductive barriers can be placed between closely spaced electrodes in problematic regions like FP1, F7, or T3, C3. Real-time EEG monitoring can help identify bridging. Channels that show identical waveforms or no voltage difference across bipolar pairs should prompt immediate inspection of electrode separation. Impedance checks may not always reveal bridging, as the contact between each electrode and the skin remains acceptable. Instead, the key indicator is waveform uniformity. If bridging is suspected mid-session, clinicians should pause recording and inspect for gel overlap, correcting the issue before resuming. In topographic maps, bridging artifacts may manifest as flat regions of artificially synchronized activity. These must be excluded from interpretation. In post-processing, automated software may flag improbable coherence values or channel correlations exceeding statistical thresholds, indicating potential bridging. However, manual review is essential to distinguish bridging from genuine neural synchrony. By combining careful setup, real-time visual inspection, and rigorous post-hoc analysis, clinicians can mitigate the impact of bridging artifacts and preserve the spatial resolution of EEG data. Drowsiness artifacts. Drowsiness artifacts are subtle yet pervasive contaminants in EEG sessions, particularly in eyes-closed conditions or recordings that exceed 20-30 minutes. As clients transition from wakefulness into stage one sleep, the EEG undergoes characteristic changes. Alpha rhythm diminishes, frontal theta increases, and eye movements become slow and rolling. Additionally, muscle tone decreases, producing reductions in EMG-related high-frequency components. These physiological transitions are often unrecognized by clients, making them especially insidious. For example, a participant who appears to be resting quietly with eyes closed may, in fact, be entering early sleep stages that confound data collected for attentional or cognitive baselines. The hallmark of stage one drowsiness includes the attenuation of the posterior dominant rhythm, PDR, replaced by mixed frequency activity and transient theta bursts. These patterns can be mistaken for cognitive slowing, anxiety-related alpha suppression, or even neurological impairment. In stage 2 sleep, additional features such as K-complexes and sleep spindles may emerge, further complicating interpretation. Clients may exhibit vertex sharp waves that mimic epileptiform discharges, increasing the risk of false positive diagnosis in clinical EEG analysis. Preventive measures should begin before the recording session. Clients should be instructed to sleep at least 9 hours the night before their session and avoid sedating medications, alcohol, or large meals immediately beforehand. During the session, environmental cues such as bright lighting, upright posture, and verbal engagement can help maintain alertness. Clinicians should periodically speak to clients or provide brief movement breaks to reactivate the central nervous system. For longer sessions, interleaved eyes-open periods can provide a physiological reset and reduce sleep pressure. Real-time monitoring is essential for identifying the onset of drowsiness. Alpha dropout, increased theta amplitude, and smooth eye-rolling movements, EOG, should alert the clinician to intervene. When these features appear, recording should be paused and the client prompted to move or engage briefly. Manual marking of the data stream is recommended to flag drowsy segments for later exclusion. Automated drowsiness detection algorithms, though improving, still struggle with transitional states and require human validation. In post-processing, affected segments must be removed from baseline analysis and normative comparisons. Drowsiness can affect spectral and coherence metrics, especially frontal theta and posterior alpha, potentially leading to incorrect conclusions about attention, fatigue, or emotional regulation. Clear documentation of drowsiness interventions, including timestamps and behavioral notes, enhances the transparency and reproducibility of EEG reports. Through vigilant pre-session instruction, real-time observation, and disciplined post-hoc editing, clinicians can effectively manage drowsiness artifacts and ensure that EEG data reflects the intended cognitive or emotional state. Evoked potential artifacts. Evoked potential, EP artifacts, also known as event-related potential, ERP artifacts, emerge from the brain's time-locked responses to discrete sensory, cognitive, or motor events. While EPs themselves are of scientific interest, the artifacts surrounding their appearance, particularly when spontaneous EEG is the analytic target, can complicate interpretation. These artifacts arise from auditory tones, visual stimuli like flashes or checkerboards, and somatosensory taps or vibrations. In the EEG, they appear as short latency waveforms, including P1, N1, P2, N2, and P3 components, which are typically phase-locked to stimulus onset. Although averaged ERP waveforms are robust to background noise, individual stimulus-locked transients in single trials introduce signal variants that can obscure resting state oscillations or spontaneous cortical rhythms. Clinically and experimentally, EP artifacts can affect the reliability of baseline EEG used for pre-training comparisons or source localization. For example, a sudden visual evoked potential, VEP, in a session intended to capture default mode activity may present as a broad occipital spike followed by prolonged voltage shifts. Similarly, auditory evoked responses can interfere with interpreting theta or alpha activity during verbal instruction tasks. EPs often involve widespread activation, contaminating frontal, central, and parietal channels simultaneously. Their amplitude and duration vary depending on stimulus modality, intensity, and client state, attention, fatigue, medication. To manage EP artifacts, clinicians must control the testing environment and maintain consistency in stimulus delivery. Visual distractions such as flashing monitors or inconsistent lighting should be eliminated unless deliberately used for evoked response paradigms. Similarly, sudden noises should be minimized, and clients should be informed in advance if any task-related stimuli will occur. If spontaneous EEG is the goal, clinicians should avoid any procedural elements that might elicit evoked responses, including tactile adjustments, sudden postural shifts, or verbal prompts during recording. During review, EP artifacts are typically distinguished by their fixed latency and polarity across trials. Any waveform feature that recurs with consistent timing following a stimulus is likely evoked. These epochs should be excluded from analyses that seek to quantify ongoing activity. In research protocols combining ERP and continuous EEG, separate segments must be reserved for resting state or oscillatory analyses to avoid cross-contamination. Clinicians may use automated epoch rejection algorithms with amplitude or slope thresholds to detect and remove large transient EP events, but human oversight remains necessary to validate findings. In quantitative EEG, evoked responses can distort frequency domain representations, particularly when they include slow components such as the P3. These transients increase low frequency power and can bias theta and delta band interpretation. The challenge is most acute in studies of attention, executive function, and affective processing, where ERPs overlap with cognitive oscillations. Therefore, careful delineation of evoked versus spontaneous signals is essential. Through rigorous session design, vigilant monitoring, and disciplined exclusion criteria, EEG professionals can isolate neural rhythms from EP artifacts and maintain analytic integrity across modalities. Movement artifacts. Movement artifacts constitute a major threat to EEG data quality, particularly in clinical populations such as children, individuals with ADHD, or patients with neurodegenerative conditions. These artifacts arise from both gross body movements and micro-adjustments that disturb the electrode-skin interface. Sources include head tilts, jaw shifts, shoulder twitches, and general fidgeting. Even subtle cable displacement, known as cable sway, can introduce large amplitude spikes or high-frequency bursts that obscure the signal. These artifacts affect all frequency bands, but are most disruptive in the delta and theta ranges, where they mimic genuine cerebral oscillations or pathologic slowing. In some cases, movement artifacts can also produce broadband bursts that distort high-frequency analysis. Visually, movement artifacts often manifest as irregular, jagged waveforms with rapid rise and fall times, inconsistent polarity, and widespread distribution across channels. They may appear intermittently, particularly at the beginning or end of a recording segment when the client adjusts position. Mechanical instability of electrodes, such as poorly affixed sensors or dangling cables, exacerbates the issue. Movement artifacts are particularly misleading in EEG studies that rely on motor cortex signals or assess frontal executive function, as overlapping spatial topographies confound source attribution. Mitigation begins with electrode and cable stabilization. All leads should be securely taped to both the scalp and the chair to reduce mechanical tension. The electrode cable should be shortened and routed along the client's body or chair frame to eliminate free hanging segments. Flexible caps must be fitted tightly, and individual sensors reinforced with medical tape or conductive caps. Clients should be instructed to remain still and reminded periodically during the session to minimize movement. Pre-recording education should emphasize the impact of motion on data quality and demonstrate movement-induced signal distortion. Real-time monitoring is crucial. Technicians must observe raw traces continuously and pause recording at the first sign of motion-related artifacts. Channels exhibiting synchronous spikes across broad scalp areas should be flagged for review. For children or high-movement clients, shorter recording epochs with frequent breaks may reduce restlessness. Where possible, tasks that require speech or gesture should be segmented separately from EEG capture. During analysis, high-amplitude artifacts must be rejected using visual inspection or automated algorithms based on amplitude, slope, or variance thresholds. Post-processing techniques, such as ICA, can sometimes separate motion artifacts from cerebral sources, but their success depends on signal-to-noise ratio and channel density. In topographic analysis, motion artifacts often present as diffuse, symmetrical patterns inconsistent with known cortical generators. Coherence and phase measures are especially vulnerable, as movement artifacts introduce non-physiological synchrony. To preserve analytic value, movement-contaminated segments should be clearly marked and excluded. By combining behavioral strategies, physical stabilization, and rigorous review, EEG professionals can reduce the frequency and impact of movement artifacts and ensure reliable neural data collection. 50-60. Hertz and field artifacts. Power line interference, manifesting as 50 Hertz or 60 Hertz artifacts, is an exogenous contaminant generated by electrical systems operating on alternating current, AC. In North America, the interference frequency is 60 Hertz, while in many parts of Europe and Asia, it is 50 Hertz. These artifacts appear as sinusoidal waveforms with sharp, regular peaks in the raw EEG and corresponding spikes in the power spectral density. Harmonics at multiples of the base frequency, such as 120 Hertz, 180 Hertz, or 240 Hertz, may also appear, further complicating spectral analyses. This type of contamination is especially detrimental to gamma band research and neurofeedback training, where high-frequency components are central to analytic interpretation. The primary causes of 50-60 Hertz interference include poor shielding of electrode cables, unbalanced electrode impedances, and proximity to electrical equipment such as fluorescent lights, transformers, power strips, or improperly grounded monitors. These electromagnetic fields induce voltages in the recording circuitry, which the EEG amplifier cannot fully suppress if differential input or common mode rejection is compromised. Field artifacts are particularly problematic when cables cross or lie parallel to power lines, when unused leads act as antennas, or when the amplifier is placed near electrical outlets or light fixtures. Prevention begins with strategic spatial configuration. The EEG amplifier should be positioned at least 1 meter away from power sources, and fluorescent lighting should be avoided or shielded. All unused sensor cables must be removed or grounded. Cable runs should be organized, twisted, and secured to reduce their susceptibility to electromagnetic induction. Furthermore, high-quality amplifiers with strong common mode rejection ratios, CMRR, greater than 100 decibels and high input impedance, greater than 1 gigohm, are essential for minimizing interference. Low impedance electrode contact is equally critical. Impedance should be balanced across all sensors within 1/3000 ohms to reduce the amplifier's differential burden. If 60 Hertz contamination is detected, a notch filter centered at the interference frequency may be applied, though this is a last resort. Notch filters suppress both artifact and physiological activity within the targeted frequency band. This is especially problematic in gamma research, where neural oscillations may coincide with the filtered band. When filtering is necessary, clinicians should document the frequency and width of the filter and interpret results cautiously. Alternative digital solutions include adaptive filtering or frequency domain subtraction, though these require precise calibration and careful validation. Visual identification of power line artifacts is typically straightforward. The raw EEG trace exhibits regular high-frequency oscillations of equal amplitude across channels, often overlaying slower cortical rhythms. In spectral plots, these artifacts produce sharp vertical lines at 50 or 60 Hz and their harmonics. Clinicians must distinguish these from broadband gamma activity, which appears more diffuse and variable in both time and frequency domains. In coherence analyses, 60 Hz artifacts can create spurious synchrony, necessitating the correction or rejection of affected segments. Through proactive room setup, equipment optimization, and analytical diligence, EEG practitioners can successfully detect and eliminate 50-60 Hz and field artifacts from their datasets. Radio frequency artifacts. Radio frequency RF artifacts originate from high-frequency electromagnetic emissions produced by nearby electronic devices. Unlike 50-60 Hz power line interference, which is periodic and easily identified, RF contamination is often broadband, sporadic, and more difficult to isolate. It typically arises from sources such as Wi-Fi routers, cellular phones, Bluetooth devices, radio towers, evac systems, hospital radiology equipment, and poorly shielded power supplies. RF artifacts can propagate through air or electrical wiring, and when picked up by EEG electrode leads, they appear as high-frequency noise, jagged waveforms, or unpredictable amplitude bursts. These artifacts may mimic fast cortical oscillations or elevate spectral power across the beta and gamma ranges, confounding clinical interpretation and neurofeedback training targeting arousal regulation. Mitigation begins with environmental control. All mobile phones and wireless communication devices should be turned off or placed in airplane mode. The EEG amplifier and encoder box should be positioned at least 3 meters away from likely RF sources and perpendicular to the emission path to reduce antenna effects. In high-risk environments, such as hospitals with dense medical instrumentation, it may be necessary to conduct an RF scan before the session to identify emission hotspots. Shielded cables and amplifier casings, along with proper grounding of the entire EEG system, further enhance resistance to RF intrusion. Signal integrity is also dependent on sensor-level preparation. Impedance must be kept low and balanced, under 5,000 ohms for research and under 20,000 ohms for training, as poor impedance increases amplifier susceptibility to RF noise. Skin electrode contact should be stable and maintained with high-quality conductive paste. Removing unused cables from the amplifier reduces the surface area available for RF reception and limits the potential for signal superposition. In cases where RF artifacts are suspected but unavoidable, a 40 Hz low-pass filter can be used as a last resort. However, this will attenuate legitimate high-frequency brain activity, such as gamma rhythms, which are crucial in attention and cognitive integration studies. In the raw EEG, RF artifacts may be mistaken for cortical microstates or brief gamma bursts. They often appear asymmetrically, with higher amplitude in cables nearest the emission source. Visual inspection is critical. Unlike physiologic gamma, RF noise lacks the typical nesting in slower oscillations and appears as isolated spikes or discontinuous high-frequency bands. If artifacts occur periodically, one can correlate them with external device activity, a nearby printer or phone notification. During analysis, spectral density plots may reveal a diffuse elevation in high-frequency power, especially when plotted over time. Removing these segments or applying advanced filtering methods, regression-based subtraction, is necessary to preserve the validity of spectral findings. Vigilance in equipment placement, shielding, and real-time observation ensures that RF artifacts do not compromise EEG fidelity or clinical interpretations. Electrode artifacts. Electrode artifacts arise from mechanical, chemical, or electrical faults at the interface between the electrode and the recording system. They are particularly insidious because they often present as abrupt deflections, high amplitude transients, or intermittent signal loss that can be mistaken for epileptiform discharges or cortical spikes. Common causes include corroded electrode surfaces, broken or poorly soldered leads, cable strain, mismatched electrode materials, and improper skin preparation. These artifacts can manifest as single-channel events or propagate through volume conduction and affect surrounding leads, creating the false appearance of localized cortical activation or regional synchronization. Routine inspection and maintenance are essential for preventing electrode artifacts. Electrodes should be cleaned thoroughly with alcohol or an enzymatic solution after each use to prevent oxidation and residue buildup. Corroded or damaged sensors must be replaced immediately. All connectors should be inspected for strain or wear, especially those repeatedly bent or coiled during storage. Cables must be secured during recording to prevent pulling or displacement, which can produce intermittent contacts or pops. Using electrodes made of compatible metals, all silver, silver chloride, or all gold-plated, avoids galvanic currents that result from mismatched materials, which can polarize amplifier input stages and distort EEG baselines. During setup, clinicians must confirm that each electrode produces stable, noise-free signals. Channels that exhibit unstable baselines, random spikes, or sudden drops in amplitude are likely defective and should be replaced or reseated. Impedance checks alone are insufficient. Visual inspection of the raw signal is required. Electrode artifacts are often directionally erratic and lack the symmetrical waveform structures typical of physiological brain rhythms. They may occur intermittently as the client moves or gel dries, leading to dehydration-induced impedance shifts that trigger brief bursts or voltage collapse. In the context of EEG interpretation, electrode artifacts can distort topographical and connectivity analyses. A single faulty electrode may cause false asymmetry, reduce phase locking accuracy, or contaminate coherence matrices. If not corrected, these artifacts can lead to incorrect assumptions about hemispheric specialization, focal dysregulation, or network dysfunction. Therefore, affected channels should be either re-recorded or excluded from quantitative analyses. If exclusion is not possible, data from the contaminated region should be interpreted cautiously, clearly marked in clinical reports, and considered inconclusive. Post-session maintenance should include detailed logging of electrode conditions, cable replacements, and any mechanical incidents during recording. Standardized checklists and electrode tracking systems can help clinics manage wear and ensure the highest standards in signal acquisition. By emphasizing mechanical reliability, material integrity, and operator diligence, clinicians can prevent electrode artifacts from compromising EEG accuracy and interpretive reliability. Impedance artifacts. Impedance artifacts result from high or unbalanced electrical resistance between the scalp and the EEG electrodes. These artifacts do not arise from external signals, but from poor signal transduction itself, which degrades the amplifier's ability to reject noise and record clean voltages. High impedance increases the likelihood of all artifact types, particularly movement, 50-60 Hz, and skin potential fluctuations by diminishing the signal-to-noise ratio. The imbalance between electrode impedances impairs common mode rejection, causing artifacts to appear as real cortical activity. These artifacts may present as slow drifts, sudden voltage jumps, or exaggerated sensitivity to environmental interference. Optimal impedance management is the first line of defense. Clinicians should prepare the skin using mild abrasion or conductive gel to reduce resistance. All electrodes must be checked pre-session using a multi-channel impedance meter. Target values are under 5,000 ohms for research and under 20,000 ohms for training, with less than 3,000 ohms difference between channels. Even if each electrode is within range, a large spread between two leads can compromise differential amplifier function. Balanced impedance ensures that artifacts common to both inputs are rejected and only voltage differences reflecting true cortical activity are amplified. Real-time monitoring of impedance is critical. Some EEG systems provide continuous impedance feedback, allowing technicians to detect drift during recording. Gel dehydration, sweating, or minor movements can cause impedance to rise during a session. As impedance increases, the electrode becomes more susceptible to voltage shifts from ambient fields, cable movement, or client behavior. These shifts appear as signal dropout, large irregular pulses, or broadband distortion. Channels with persistently elevated impedance should be cleaned and reapplied immediately to prevent widespread data corruption. High impedance also interferes with quantitative metrics. For example, it can reduce power spectral density in high-frequency bands, distort peak alpha frequency calculations, and create false coherence between noisy channels. In topographic mapping, one poorly connected electrode can cause regional hotspots or dead zones that do not reflect brain activity. Automated artifact detection systems may overlook impedance issues unless specifically configured to evaluate channel quality. To minimize these risks, clinicians should implement standardized impedance logs, noting values pre- and post-session. If artifacts are detected during analysis, retrospective impedance data can guide interpretation or exclusion decisions. Clinics should also train all EEG technicians in best practices for skin prep, gel use, and connector handling. High-quality conductive media and consistent protocols help reduce variance across sessions and clients. Ultimately, managing impedance proactively enhances data reliability, improves artifact resilience, and supports high-quality EEG outcomes in clinical and research domains. Electrode pop artifacts. Electrode pop artifacts occur when an abrupt electrical discharge is produced at the electrode-skin interface, often due to a sudden change in contact quality. These transients are among the most disruptive single-channel artifacts in EEG recording and can resemble epileptiform spikes, slow-wave bursts, or sharp transients. The underlying cause is usually mechanical, a loss of contact due to electrode dislodgement, the collapse of an air bubble in the conductive gel, or instability caused by drying paste. Pop artifacts may also arise when accumulated charge at the electrode-electrolyte interface is released suddenly across an impedance barrier, especially in systems with poor shielding or damaged leads. These events manifest as large amplitude, sharply contoured, monophasic or biphasic deflections, often confined to one or two channels. Preventing electrode pops begins with proper skin preparation. The scalp must be exfoliated with a mild abrasive to remove oils and dead cells, ensuring stable electrical contact. Conductive gel or paste should be applied evenly and adequately to avoid air gaps. Once positioned, the electrode should be secured with tape or a net to prevent shifting. Electrodes placed in high-motion areas, near the ears, mastoids, or forehead, should be reinforced with adhesive or elastic bands. During the session, clinicians must minimize external disturbances, such as cable tugging, head movement, or chair adjustments, that could destabilize the electrode. Maintaining adequate gel hydration is also essential. Dry gel increases contact impedance and susceptibility to charge buildup. Real-time identification of electrode pop artifacts requires careful visual inspection. These events are characterized by their sudden onset, large amplitude, often exceeding plus or minus 100 microvolts, and lack of physiological symmetry. They typically occur in isolation, but may cluster when the recording environment is unstable. Because they are localized, pop artifacts rarely affect more than one or two channels simultaneously, unlike physiological bursts or muscle activity. If a pop artifact is detected during a session, recording should be paused and the affected electrode reevaluated. Often, a simple gel reapplication and reinforcement of the sensor's position resolves the issue. In digital EEG systems, electrode pop artifacts may also trigger impedance spikes, which serve as an additional diagnostic cue. In post-processing, electrode pop artifacts must be manually excluded or corrected using interpolation methods. Automated algorithms frequently misclassify pops as valid brain events or fail to detect them altogether due to their brief duration. Artifact correction methods such as independent component analysis, ICA, may help, but only when the artifact's spatial and temporal properties are sufficiently distinct from cortical sources. If interpolation is used to reconstruct the contaminated channel, it must be noted in the data log and clinical interpretation. In source analysis, even a single channel pop can corrupt inverse models, leading to mislocalized dipoles or spurious connectivity. Therefore, any EEG analysis dependent on channel topology, source imaging, coherence, or brain mapping must verify electrode integrity rigorously. By integrating robust setup practices, continuous monitoring, and strict quality control, clinicians can minimize the incidence and impact of electrode pop artifacts on EEG data quality. Conclusion: the quality and interpretability of EEG data depend critically on the ability of clinicians and researchers to recognize, prevent, and correct artifacts. Artifacts, whether physiological or exogenous, can mimic, obscure, or distort genuine brain activity, leading to misdiagnosis, ineffective neurofeedback, and flawed research findings. Throughout this lecture, we have detailed best practices for addressing each major artifact category, emphasizing proactive setup, vigilant monitoring, and disciplined post-hoc analysis. These include muscle and eye movement artifacts, cardiac and pulse signals, impedance and bridging irregularities, drowsiness effects, evoked potentials, movement interference, power line and RF contamination, electrode instability, and electrode pop discharges. Each type of artifact has unique characteristics and requires targeted mitigation strategies. Clinicians must view artifact management as a dynamic, session-long responsibility, not merely a preparatory or post-analytical task. Successful EEG acquisition begins with client education. Showing how specific behaviors affect EEG signals promotes awareness and cooperation. Environmental control, including temperature, lighting, and electromagnetic shielding, further reduces artifact likelihood. Equipment quality and maintenance are essential, from high differential amplifiers and shielded leads to carefully matched electrode materials and fresh conductive media. During sessions, clinicians must remain alert to real-time signal changes and behavioral cues that suggest emerging contamination. The interpretation of EEG depends on the availability of long artifact-free epochs that reflect the client's true cortical state. This requires the removal or exclusion of contaminated segments and, when necessary, repetition of the session under improved conditions. Automated artifact detection tools can support this process, but clinical expertise and manual review remain indispensable. Every artifact must be evaluated in context, its morphology, timing, and spatial distribution against known neurophysiological patterns. Comprehensive data logging and documentation of artifact-related decisions enhance findings' reproducibility and transparency. The demand for precision and reproducibility intensifies as EEG is increasingly used in personalized medicine, cognitive neuroscience, and neuromodulation. The distinction between noise and signal is no longer a peripheral concern, but central to the validity of EEG-based conclusions. From clinical diagnosis of epilepsy and attention disorders to research on cognitive control and consciousness, the suppression and correct interpretation of artifacts determine whether EEG serves as a powerful diagnostic and analytic tool or becomes a source of misleading information. In sum, mastering artifact identification and minimization is a core competency for all EEG practitioners. Through methodological rigor, client-centered procedures, and real-time vigilance, clinicians and researchers can uphold the integrity of the EEG record. This not only ensures the reliability of individual assessments, but also strengthens the foundation upon which broader scientific and clinical insights are built.